The scripture reading this morning is Colossians 3, verses 1 and 4, and 12 and 17. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father, through him.
The second scripture this morning is from 1 John 3, verses 11 through 18. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So again, my name is Becky Arnett, and many of you know that I am the director of Habitat for Humanity here in Wabash County. And I am sure that you're expecting me to talk all about Habitat, and I will. But this is more than just about Habitat, and it's more than just about me. When Carol asked me to speak today, I think I told her I could speak about Habitat all day, and I probably could. I could give you a lot of facts and history and what Habitat does. But as I began to think and pray about what to say, I knew that I had to go deeper than that. My hope is to give you real insight into Habitat for Humanity. So, a little history. Habitat for Humanity was founded in 1976 by Millard Fuller, and it was based on Koinonia Farm in Americus, Georgia. Koinonia Farms was founded in 1942 by Clarence Jordan as a demonstration plot for the Kingdom of God. He created a community of like-minded believers who shared their lives and resources. It was modeled after the first Christian communities described in the Acts of the Apostles. At the farm, they shared not only faith and resources, but also labor. Farming for their livelihood, they worked in harmony with the land, striving to conserve the soil, God's holy earth, as Clarence Jordan said. From the beginning, Koinonians emphasized brotherhood and sisterhood of all people. Black and white workers were treated equally, paying fair wages and ensuring that everyone, regardless of race, sat together for meals and prayer. The commitment they had to racial equality, pacifism, and economic sharing sparked violent opposition in the 1950s. The Ku Klux Klan and others tried to drive them out using bullets, bombs, and intimidation. In response, those at Koinonia held fast to prayer, nonviolent resistance, and their commitment to living out the gospel. As a result of the boycotts that followed, no one in the surrounding counties would buy or sell to them, making farming an impossible way to make a living. So they began a mail order business that eventually grew into an online business that remains their primary source of income today. When the violence and boycotts ended, one of the most well-known projects Koinonia Farm pursued was building affordable homes for and with their neighbors. Clarence Jordan died in 1969, but Koinonia continued the work of its founder. It was known as Koinonia Partnership Housing, and part of it later became known as Habitat for Humanity when two Koinonia members, Millard and Linda Fuller, expanded the ministry globally. Koinonia Farm still exists today and continues to minister in Americas, reminding people that they are not alone. Millard Fuller took this idea of affordable housing and he ran with it. Habitat for Humanity now is in more than 70 countries around the world, as well as in all 50 states. In its 50th year, Habitat has evolved as the need for housing has changed. Construction practices are much different now than they were 50 years ago, and the houses look a lot different. But the mission of seeking to put God's love into action, Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, community, and hope, has not changed. Millard Fuller wrote a book called The Theology of the Hammer, and in it he says, "The Bible teaches that God is the God of the whole crowd. God's love leaves nobody out, and my love should not either. This understanding drives that theology of the hammer, which is the concept of faith being shown by actions and not just by words, around the world, steadily building more and more houses in more and more countries. We are not alone." As I said, I could go on and on about Habitat all day, one of my favorite subjects, but I really want to tell you why this mission is so important. So I'm going to talk about me for a minute, because I would not be standing here today if it were not for Habitat for Humanity. I am the youngest of six kids. I grew up on a farm outside of Warren, and my dad was a farmer, and when I was old enough to choose what chores I wanted to do, I helped my dad farm. I loved being outside and being active, and I felt like that I was not just helping, I was making a difference. Driving the tractor maybe didn't make that much of an impact, but I felt pretty important doing it. And I think most of my work ethic comes from my dad and from farming. So I grew up in Warren and eventually started a family of my own. I didn't go very far. The very first home we lived in was the farmhouse I grew up in. We later moved to town, and I became a busy mom to three growing kids. Unfortunately, in 2002, my marriage was ending. I just was not happy, and I felt very alone. That same summer, our lives changed forever. On August 24th, 2002, my kids and I were in a very horrible, horrible car accident. My youngest daughter's friend was with us, and she did not survive. Carissa, my youngest, was severely injured with a badly broken leg and concussion and some other injuries and had to be airlifted to Fort Wayne. My other two, Caitlin and Corey, and myself were also injured, and we had to be taken by ambulance to Bluffton. In that one instant, our lives changed. Suddenly, things that seemed so important were not. My divorce was put on hold while Dave, my ex-husband, and I cared for our kids together. I remember he and his dad bringing me a brand new bed and mattress because they knew that I had to be able to rest from the injuries while taking care of Carissa. This is a man that I was divorcing, did this for me. And even before Warren adopted their slogan, small town with a big heart, it was quite evident. My utility bills mysteriously got paid. I had people showing up with meals, mowing my yard. And my mailman brought my mail to my door for many months after. That's important because our mailbox was down the road, not at our house. I began to see that I really wasn't alone. There's a song that I love by Ricky Skaggs, and it's called Somebody's Praying. And in it, he talks about being in a dark cavern where no light had ever shone, and how he was able to go on because there was somebody down on their knees praying for him. And that spoke to me because I knew we were not alone. Somehow our lives moved on. I wish I could say that everything in my life was easy and smooth sailing, but it really wasn't easy being a single mom. I reconnected with an old friend a few years later and ended up getting married again, but it was not a good marriage, and it did not last long. The best thing that came from it was my son, Brock. So now I had two at home, a teenager and a toddler, both with their own set of struggles for a single mom. We ended up moving from Warren to Huntington and renting a house. I had a good enough job, but things were really tight. I depended on food stamps and Medicaid to get by, and sometimes we didn't get by. It was while we were living in Huntington that I first heard about Habitat for Humanity. I had to apply twice because the first time we had just moved and I didn't have all the documentation that I needed, but they told me to come back. So I applied again, and I was accepted into the program in December of 2009. We started construction in March of that next year, and we moved into our brand new home in August of 2010. By this time, I had a senior and a kindergartner. And I'm not going to say this to embarrass you, Carissa, but she was a handful in high school. She decided halfway through her junior year that she wanted to go to college. To say I was surprised is an understatement. But she worked very hard, and she was accepted into Manchester University, where she studied sociology and peace studies. I did not find out till a few years after that that the reason she decided to go to college was because people who didn't even know us came and helped us build our house. She wanted to give back. You see, we were not alone. The relationships we formed during the construction of our house are still very strong. Myself, I gained the confidence I needed to get a better job, to go back to school. I got my bachelor's and my master's, and now I am in a position at Habitat to help other people. You see, Habitat is less about construction and more about people. An organization that is based on Christian principles but does not proselytize, Habitat truly meets people where they are. It shows people that they are not alone. I want to read Psalm 31 to you this morning. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me. They plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge on you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all the saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. God has promised that he will be with us in rejoicing and in grief. Habitat's mission, seeking to put God's love into action. Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, community, and hope. We are those people. The United Methodist Church are those people. Bachelor Creek are those people. The volunteers are those people. Action does not always mean feet on the ground. Sometimes it means knees on the floor. Sometimes it means hands in the kitchen. My challenge to you is to let people know that they are not alone and that we are not alone. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for all the roads that led me here, for the work of Habitat, for the many people that are impacted, not just the people who we build homes for, but the people who volunteer, the people who pray for Habitat and for the families. And I just pray, Lord, that we can continue this work in Wabash County and that we can really begin to see people for who they are and where they are. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.